the mind like a diamond. Rise and shine, Pyle. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Cake, what are you doing? Did you kidnap Jim Davis and Rio in an effort to take full control, full autonomy of the Jim Davis Show? The answer is no. For reasons that I don't think I need to point out, but I will anyway for context in case this is your first time listening to the Jim Davis Show. I am not Jim Davis. My name is Tyler Franson. That's one of my many names. My government name, if you will. My nickname here around these parts is Cake, Tired Franson, Elton Yawn, Magellan, Baked Goods. There's a lot of names. And normally I'm not here on Mondays. Normally it's Jim and the Buckeye Boy. They are not here today for a very good reason. A very, very good reason. We will tell you about it as we get further along in the show. It's actually a really good reason that they're not here today. They are celebrating. We can now officially say, not that this program wasn't before, but we can now officially say that the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team, is an award-winning radio program. Because the man who bears its name won Jimothy, Jimbo, Jimmy, as Connor McGahee likes to refer to him. Jim Davis has officially won the Colorado High School Athletics Directors Association. And I want to make sure I get this right. So I'm gonna double check my notes here. He is the 2024 Outstanding Media Person of the Year for Interscholastic Sports Coverage. Well done, Jim. Actually, legitimately well done. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just being tongue-in-cheek. I'm legitimately serious. Congratulations. This is an excellent award. And it is one of those awards that, you know, it comes with the recognition, but it has to start with nominations and recognition from kind of, you know, peers, and the fact that it is as much a recognition from not just us here, but from others as well. It speaks volumes to the kind of work that he puts in and the kind of work that we all collectively share in making sure that what we do here matters, that we curate programming like high school sports on this very station in a way that is professional and people can enjoy it. You can listen back to it at our website, theteam1340.com, with our Team Rewind. So if you missed a high school prep game this season, we've got you covered at the website. So once again, Boss Man is out today. He and the Buckeye Boys celebrating. I believe they're actually coming back today, but I think the awards ceremony was this weekend for the Colorado Athletics Directors Association's Outstanding Media Person for Interscholastic Sports Coverage, going to one Jim Davis. Now, he's back tomorrow. Will his head be able to fit through the door after winning such an award? That's a great question. We're going to find out tomorrow. I will give him this. When I won the Bracketpalooza amongst our little group here, Bracketpalooza celebrity picks, as it were, I was very much a sore winner. I was very much a sore winner. I was very braggadocious. And in that respect, if Jim wanted to be himself very braggadocious and very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Celebratory. You know, gloating. He has earned the right to do that because I did it to him when I won Bracket Palooza, and he is winning a actual legitimate recognition in the field of sports casting and not just the office NCAA tournament bracket pool. So there you go. Cake and Max today. How you doing today, Maxie?
Good, buddy.
Good, buddy. We're going to have a very busy show today. So I hope you brought your A game. I hope you are ready to rock, roll, rumble, whatever it is, because we got a lot of stuff today. In the back half of this hour, we're going to talk with Central head coach for their Warriors baseball team, Joe Kellerby. Big series this week against the Montrose Redhawks, a home and away. And we're going to have both of those games here on the Team Sports Network. We'll have the Tuesday game between Montrose and Central with Jim and Vern. That'll be over at Central High School, and we'll have pregame at 3:45 on Tuesday. And then afterwards, late into the evening, we'll have Avalanche Hockey on Tuesday. And then we'll flip it. May 3rd, it will be the Central Warriors at the Montrose Redhawks in Montrose. Pat Hooley will have the call for that one at 3:45 on Friday. That'll be our Highway 50 game of the week on the team. So Central and Montrose, home and away, we'll have Tuesday and Friday's game, Warriors and Redhawks, here on the Team Sports Network. And if you want to get a full schedule, go to theteam1340.com. We'll talk with Coach Joe Kellerby at 7:40 this morning. At 9:40 this morning, we're going to recap the spring game from head coach Miles Cochaver of the CMU Mavericks football team. I got to ask him about the quarterback situation, just because we know that Kiai Kione has entered the transfer portal, or at least that's what I've seen on social media, X, formerly known as Twitter. So we'll talk about the quarterback battle, what that's going to kind of look like as we're getting into the latter half of the off season. You know, start to think about summer and what you're going to do to prep for August, September. Miles Cochaver joining us at 9:40 this morning. We'll have a bunch of stuff from the Avs and Nuggets this weekend, the Rockies, draft recap. We got all of it. And of course, it would not be a Monday without a little good, bad, the ugly. Pyle, send us your good. Send us your bad. Definitely send us your ugly. If it's anything like my face this morning, it's going to be real ugly. I have this problem. This is a total sidebar. I've got this thing with my eye lately. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like just bags or if it's like just something about my face. It probably is. Thanks for your support.
You're welcome.
Every time in like pictures or in certain lighting, it looks like I have a black eye. It's weird because as far as I know, I have not done anything to warrant being on the receiving end of a punch to the face or some sort of other injury that would result in a black eye. So I guess it's just, I just look like, you know, a raccoon.
It's your face.
It is my face. Now, see, you know, you could have been like, no, Tyler, it's
fine. Your face.
It's fine.
No, it's your face.
No, it's my face. You know, with friends like you.
Who needs enemies?
Who really, truly needs enemies? So, yeah, Pyle, if you got a good, the bad, the ugly today, send it into the text line at 970-242-1340. 970-242-1340 from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Stop in and see them today. Get your car looked at. They can take care of you as far as oil changes and stuff goes. And since we are such a busy program today, we are going to go ahead and jump straight into
What's Happening.
What's Happening? brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. It's not a one-size-fits-all. They're going to personalize it to meet your needs. They hooked up our phone system here at the radio station. It works fantastic. It's nice, big buttons, easy for me to read. Nothing difficult. It is right there. The phone system works excellent. ComWest is your technology partner, maximizing your investment and ensuring your office technology is working efficiently and giving you the peace of mind so that you can focus on growing your business. Visit ComWestCorp.com today to learn more. That's ComWestCorp.com. Leading off, what's happening? Max, I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want the good news or the bad news first? Which would you prefer?
Bad.
You want the bad news first? All right. The Los Angeles Lakers defeated the Denver Nuggets in game 4 of the NBA playoffs, first round matchup. So that means that the Denver Nuggets are not going to be able to sweep this year as they did the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals last year, as the Lakers took game 4 by a score of, I don't have it on my thing because I'm an idiot, and I wrote this yesterday thinking, oh, well, it'll be fine. But taking a look at my schedule here, so it was 119-108 last night. The Lakers were able to actually hold on to a lead for what seemed like the first time in this entire series. They got the win 119-108, and after the game, Coach Michael Malone said that it was a twofold problem of physicality and shots allowed in the paint.
It sounded like a broken record tonight. Every huddle was paint, paint, paint. Game 3, they had 70. We found a way to win. And tonight they had 72. And when you break it down, they shot 64% in our paint, and they shot, I think, 33 in non-paint shots. And I just didn't think we had the requisite physicality or urgency.
Nuggets did have Nikola Jokic reach another playoff triple-double. 34 points, 12 boards, 12 assists. But Nuggets could not get the job done against the Lakers in Game 4, so they don't sweep. They're hoping to get the gentleman sweep tonight. We'll have that game for you right here on the Team Sports Network with coverage starting at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. One big question mark, and it's a literal question mark because he's listed as questionable, Jamal Murray with, I believe, a calf strain is what I saw. So he is questionable tonight, Jamal Murray, which I look. It's tough because playoff Jamal Murray is a much different beast than even regular season Jamal Murray. In regular season, Jamal Murray's pretty good. Playoff Jamal is where he thrives. And if he's not out there tonight, that's not great. That doesn't bode well. But it is in Denver tonight, and Denver has a significant home court advantage. So hopefully they get the job done tonight. Again, we'll have coverage of Nuggets Lakers game 5 on the Team Sports Network tonight, 7:30 pregame. Jason Kosmiski on the call. 8 o'clock tip off. It's a late one again because I don't think the NBA nor the NHL realize what time zone the West Coast or the Mountain Time is. I don't think they know. I don't think they understand the concept of time. I think they're on some sort of Greenwich Mean Time. Oh, this is perfect time. It's bright and sunny. No, it's not. It is bedtime. Well, for some of us, it is. For those of us that had to come in here at 4:30 this morning, it was bedtime. Okay, so that was the bad news. Nuggets didn't get the sweep. But again, they're playing tonight back at home at Ball Arena. Good vibes all around. The good news, the Colorado Avalanche. Val Nichushkin with a hat trick, giving the Avs a game 4 win 5-1 the other day. In Denver at Ball Arena, the Avs now lead the series 3-1. It was knotted up at 1-1. Alexander Georgiev, a spectacular save at the end of period 1. And then in the second, it was dominance, piling on the goals. Jared Bednar, after the game, saying that it was one of those things where every game in this Winnipeg series, the Avs are continuing to improve.
We made some mistakes in game one. We made less in game two. We made less in game three. We probably made less here tonight. But our compete level and the intensity that we're playing with, the speed and pace we're playing with, the commitment that the team's playing with has been great in all four games.
The Avalanche go back to Winnipeg for game five. You can hear that game tomorrow night here on the Team Sports Network. We'll have coverage starting around 7 o'clock, puck drop at 7:30. Leading up to that game, and probably there's some time in between, but we'll have high school baseball between Central and Montrose. Jim and Vern on the call for that one at about 3:45, 4 o'clock first pitch. And then tomorrow night, Avs and Winnipeg in game five. Avs looking to wrap up the series in Winnipeg. If they can't, they'll play game six in Denver at Ball Arena. And we all know, again, home ice advantage. You got to love that. Max, did you know the Colorado Rockies were in Mexico this weekend?
I did.
Did you know that the Rockies struggled to win on both U.S. and foreign soil?
I didn't, but it was an assumption I wouldn't have mind making.
The Rockies played two games in Mexico City to the Houston Astros, dropped both of them. The first one Saturday by a score of 12-4, and then Sunday the Rockies fell 8-2 after game one. Saturday, manager Bud Black said the team struggled to get going on offense.
You know, we've got off to a slow start overall offensively in a number of very important offensive categories. You know, the Astros still, you know, with Alvarez and Tucker and Altuve, those guys are off to good starts. I mean, they're swinging the bat good.
Yeah, Rockies, they suck. I love them. But it's, did you ever see the movie Beautiful Boy, Steve Carell and Timothy Chalamet? The long and short of it is that Timothy Chalamet is like a screw up, addicted to drugs. His life's falling apart. Steve Carell is the caring, loving dad who tries to help his son. I'm Steve Carell, the Colorado Rockies, or Timothy Chalamet. I'm trying to be the helpful, supportive family member, and the Rockies keep screwing up. I'll leave it at that. Oh, this coffee's not doing it right now. All right, so Colorado starts a three-game series with Miami Marlins from Florida. That starts a three-game series on Tuesday. I don't know if we'll have any of those games, to be honest with you. It depends on if Avs and Nuggets wrap up their playoff series respectively this week. We might have Thursday's game. We might not. Make sure you follow our schedule, though, at theteam1340.com. The NFL draft wrapped up this weekend. We'll talk more about that in the 9 o'clock hour because one of us, between the two of us here in this little broadcast booth, between myself and Max, one of our respective teams we root for had the number 1 overall pick and the number 9 overall pick. And I want to get that person's take on that coming up 9 o'clock hour. But as for the Denver Broncos, they picked up Bo Nix in the first round. They also took his former Oregon teammate, wide receiver Troy Franklin. And Franklin was on 850 KOA to talk about being back with his former signal caller and learning under coach Sean Payton.
He knows what he's doing. He has the sauce. I think he needed the guys, man. He's grabbing the guys up, you know. He knows what he's doing, man. You know, he's going to make me a better player, you know, help me off the field, just with everything I need, you know. Yeah, definitely playing for a guy like Sean Payton is, you know, a kid's dream for sure.
We'll have more of that conversation with Troy Franklin and 850 KOA coming up in the 8 o'clock hour when we go around the NFL. Here's what the rest of Denver's draft looked like. Edge rusher in round 3, Jonah Ellis from Utah. His dad, former Bronco. Only the second time that that's happened besides Daniel Graham and his dad. You have wideout Troy Franklin from Oregon. We mentioned that was a 4th-round selection. In round 5, the Broncos took corner Chris Abrams-Drain from Missouri and running back Audric Stemme from Notre Dame. Round 7, wideout Devon Vailey from Utah. Tim Patrick, very happy about that one. Another Utah Ute wide receiver joining him. Broncos had the second-to-last overall pick in the NFL draft, so not quite Mr. Irrelevant, but the last pick in the draft, guard Nick Gargiulo. I'm probably not going to pronounce that name correctly at any point coming up, but he is a guard from South Carolina. And in news that is, I guess, it's kind of neat. Even though this side of the hill, Colorado Mesa and Colorado School of Mines do not like each other, there is steep rivalry between those two programs. It is cool that John Matoka, former quarterback of Colorado School of Mines, was invited to Broncos rookie minicamp, where he will be a rookie minicamp throwing arm. And who knows? I mean, maybe he might surprise people. Maybe he beats out... I can't even say it with a straight face. Maybe he beats out Jarrett Stidham for backup behind Zach Wilson and Bo Nix. Who knows? Who even knows? Now, I will say this. Broncos did get Jaleel McLaughlin, who was the NCAA all-time leading rusher. John Matoka is the NCAA all-time leading passer. Stranger things have happened. All right, moving on. Speaking of CMU, we got some exciting CMU news to tell you about here on What's Happening, brought to you by ComWest. CMU Mavericks men's lacrosse team, your three-peat RMAC tournament champions. They face newcomer Concordia Irvine in the championship game Saturday. Mavs and Golden Eagles were tied at 12 goals apiece in regulation. In overtime, within just the first few seconds, tournament MVP James Steinke with the game-winning goal. And the Mavs took the championship by a score of 13-12. And here's what's very, very fascinating. So I did the PA for this game. It was a lot of fun. Always fun to announce a championship. They told me that they're going to play again Saturday, CMU is. They're going to take on Colorado College. It's not an exhibition matchup because it does count towards the regular season. But it's a regular season matchup after the conference tournament. The logic being that how they play is going to hopefully boost their chances at making the NCAA tournament in their quest for hopefully a national title. Because I think they're a national title contending potential team. But they got to, you know, get that strength of schedule boost a little bit. So that'll be Saturday at Community Hospital Unity Field. That's a noon start for that game. The Colorado Mesa softball team is your RMAC regular season champions outright with a 33rd straight win and a 20-0 record at home. Maya Arrieta, the Central Warriors product, single season conference record holder in home runs with 26. The team record in the RMAC also broken by the Mavericks, 113 home runs in 2024. RMAC tournament begins this week at the softball complex at Bus Bergman here in GJ this week on the campus of Colorado Mesa. That's going to start Thursday. Don't know yet what the seating for that's going to look like. Hopefully we'll get an idea on that pretty soon. Mavericks baseball, you heard their first game on our sister station, 1100 KNZZ, with the fireworks night on Friday. And there were a couple fireworks, but the main story was pitching. Liam Hohenstein, a quality start. He got 7 innings of work in, did not give up a run. He only allowed 3 hits, struck out 11 batters for a season high as the Mavericks took game 1, 9-1. The doubleheader Saturday, the Mavericks split with Highlands, giving the Cowboys only their 4th RMAC win of the season. They finished the job, though, CMU did on Sunday in what was their final regular season home game. They play the regular season finale this week against Adams State in Alamosa. That first game's on Thursday, and then we're going to find out where the RMAC tournament is going to be. More than likely going to be in GJ. We'll have coverage of the RMAC tournament for baseball here on the Team Sports Network when we get to it. Mavericks women's lacrosse finishes the regular season on a high note. They took down Westminster 11-4 on senior day. Justine Anderson, 4 goals to give her a season total 51. Shannon Murphy, 11 saves in the win as Mavericks are now 10-5 overall, 8-2 in the RMAC as they start the RMAC tournament this Friday at host Regis University. Prep scores, you got Central Warriors baseball. They took down rival Grand Junction Friday night 3-2. Pair of steals from Caden Guerrieri and Lewis Kuntz set up the first couple runs for Central, and then the Tigers responded with Titus Forsythe's RBI double, Will Applegate's RBI single, and tied at 2, Trevor Zeke's RBI single was the game-winning hit. Warriors now 9-8, 1-3 in Southwestern League, Tigers 11-7, 4-2 in league play. Central with a back-to-back, a home and away with Montrose this week. You can hear both of those games on the Team Sports Network Tuesday and Friday. Other prep scores, Palisade defeating Summit 5-0 on the girls' soccer pitch. 5-0 win led by Taylor Balding's hat trick and Mia DeViegas Decker, 2 goals. Only 2. Come on. Come on, Mia. No, I'm kidding. She's been fantastic this year. Fruita Girls Lacrosse defeated Telluride 14-8 Thursday behind Olivia O'Hara. 6 goals. Wildcats 7-3. 5-1 in Mountain West League play. Boys Lacrosse, Grand Junction defeated Durango 16-6. They got back to 500 overall. They're 7-2 in Mountain League, and they had 4 players scoring at least 3 goals, led by Tristan Brinton, Paxton Weber, Maddox Caster, Rylan Hewitt, each scoring a hat trick. And with that, that is...
What's happening?
And what's happening brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest, helping business owners grow their solutions by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. Give them a call at 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. I'm going to take a break. On the other side, we'll talk Rockies, Avs, Nuggets, all that good stuff right here. This is the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
The Team.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. House of the Rising Sun, except I don't think the computer was rising to meet the occasion. Not your fault. It's just that thing is, having been in that studio many a times myself, I can tell you that thing is not the most responsive. You doing all right over there, Maxie?
Yeah, buddy.
Cake and Max with you today, filling in as Jim and the Buckeye Boy are... They're not on vacation together. They took the day off because this past weekend, the Colorado Athletics Directors Association awarded one Jim Davis the award for Outstanding Media Person of the Year for Interscholastic Sports Coverage. If you got well wishes for Jim that you want to send him, because he's going to love that, send it into the text line 970-242-1340. We also want your good, bad, and the ugly from the weekend. You're good. The Avalanche, 3-1 lead in their series after dropping game one. The Nuggets, bad that they didn't sweep Los Angeles, and Jamal Murray's questionable for tonight. The Rockies, ugly. And it's only because you have a chance. This is one of the only games this year that's going to be nationally broadcast. By the way, ESPN, quick note, if you're going to put up a graphic of Vinny Castilla and put the name Vinny Castilla, make sure that the picture you're using is actually of Vinny Castilla and not DJ LeMahieu, another different number 9 for the Colorado Rockies. Just saying, it's a bad look. It's a bad look, you morons. I'm sure it was an easy enough screw up, but still. Double check. Graphics department at ESPN. You get the fail for today. So send your good, the bad, the ugly for the weekend on the text line 970-242-1340. Speaking of Rockies, let's dive into that mess. Bud Black spoke to the media after the game on Saturday. And had this to say about playing not only the series in Mexico, but going up against the Astros and some of the not great offensive production that his team's putting up.
I thought there was a lot of energy in the stadium. I know that our guys, our team, were energetic going into the game. I think we stayed energetic. I compliment the ballpark operations here. Great job by... the Mexico City people, MLB, the Astros and the Rockies of putting this first game together. I thought it was seamless. I thought the environment had a tremendous vibe to it. So, for me, all positive, except for the outcome of the game. We haven't pitched great. I know that, the Astros, I can't speak for the Astros, but just from the other side, probably their expectation, they feel they're going to pitch better. Offensively, we've been down a little bit. A few guys haven't done what they expect to do and what we expect them to do. So, you know, we've got off to a slow start overall offensively in a number of very important offensive categories. The Astros still, with Alvarez and Tucker and Altuve, those guys are off to good starts. I mean, they're swinging the bat good, along with some other players. So, not watching every game the Astros have played, but watching every game that we've played, we haven't played up to our standards. Hopefully we'll get there and we'll get some guys going offensively.
Hopefully? You hope to get some guys going offensively. You know, buddy, I hope to one day be an absolutely stunning specimen of a man, rivaling only that of Ryan Gosling. I cannot do that just on hope. Just like your offense can't will its way into existence on hope alone. Speaking of hope alone, Post Malone, as we switch over to the Nuggets, they couldn't get it done against the Lakers in Game 4, so they're back at home tonight in Ball Arena, in the friendly confines of Ball Arena, to hopefully get the gentleman's sweep of the Lakers. And here's what Michael Malone had to say after the Game 4 loss, talking about, again, physicality, issues in the paint, and how that ultimately was the difference maker for the Lakers to get the win.
Transition was all right. They only had 8 fast break, but yeah, the paint was a joke. I mean, every huddle, I think you're at most of our huddles. I sound like a broken record tonight. Every huddle was paint, paint, paint. And Game 3, they had 70. We found a way to win. And tonight they had 72. They had 42 at halftime. That's an incredible number. And when you break it down, they shot 64% in our paint, and they shot, I think, 33 in non-paint shots. And it starts in transition, blow-bys, just one-on-one containment, no help. And I just didn't think we had the requisite physicality or urgency. You know, this did not seem like a closeout game. Give them credit. You know, their backs were against the wall, and they came out and handled their business.
There you go. That's some Post Malone for you. Michael Malone after the Nuggets Game 4 loss to the Lakers. They still lead it 3-1, and they're still looking for the win in the series, which is the most important thing tonight. Your injury report looks like this. Reggie Jackson is probable tonight with a left ankle sprain. Questionable tonight, though. Probably the one that could have the most impact if he's not on the floor tonight is Jamal Murray with a left calf strain. Left calf strain, and Vlatko Kankar, he has not been on the court in quite a while after recovering from knee surgery. So, there you go. That's all the bad news. We have exercised all of the negative so that now we can get into the good. Your Colorado Avalanche. First of all, Game 1, they were in it. They lost 7-6. They got the sixth goal with under a minute left. They pulled their netminder, I think. I could be wrong, actually. I might be misremembering that. But, you know, nonetheless, kept it as close as they could, but they just couldn't overcome the not great defensive effort in Game 1. Bounce back with a win in Game 2, Game 3, now Game 4, getting better and better with each game. Jared Bednar saying as much in his post-game comments after Game 4. Excuse me.
I've really liked all 4 games from our group, though. All 4. We made some mistakes in Game 1. We made less in Game 2. We made less in Game 3. We probably made less here tonight on the defensive side of things. But our compete level and the intensity that we're playing with, the speed and pace we're playing with, the commitment that the team's playing with has been great in all 4 games. So sometimes you get the results, sometimes you don't. It's a game of mistakes. Sometimes you can cover them up, sometimes you can't. Yeah, so we got to keep doing what we're doing. But it's the last one is always the toughest one to get, so we'll have to be better.
I love Jared Bednar and how just violently Canadian he is. When he said, sometimes you can cover up your mistakes, sometimes you don't, it reminded me of the, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I was born in the wrong generation. Avalanche, Winnipeg, game 5 from Canada Life Center tomorrow on the Team Sports Network. We'll have coverage at 7 o'clock, 7:30 puck drop for that one, as hopefully the Avalanche can get the series win over Winnipeg tomorrow night. If they can't, they'll be back at Ball Arena on Thursday, I believe. Actually, let me double check that, because I don't want to give any false information. So let's see. Yep, Thursday. TBD on that one. Again, if they have to play a game 6, they'll play it at Ball Arena in Denver on Thursday. You'd like to see them close it out at home if they can't get it done tomorrow night. But ideally, you'd like to see them get it done tomorrow night, just period. So that's what's going on in the world of sports. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with the head coach of the Central Warriors, Joe Kellerby. But before we do, Mr. Max, do you have for this morning a little sound check?
Great time of year to be a sports fan, Tyler. We've got a ton of postseason stuff going on, man.
Before you do, I got to hit the open first.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, you were saying postseason.
Yeah. Postseason and stuff going on. You got the NHL, you got the NBA, you got the MLB. You know, there's a lot of great stuff, but there's also a lot of terrible stuff out there. All right? And
like
terrible.
Pickleball?
No. Like the New Orleans Pelicans.
Ooh.
And our good friend, friend of the program, friend of the show, Charles Barkley. I just pretend that he's a guy I know.
Sure.
Well, I had this to say about what you do when you put on a performance like the Pelicans did against the #1 seed.
I think I know this.
Of the OKC Thunder. You earn what you get on the court, and this is what Charles Barkley thought the Pelicans earned.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston.
That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit in the Cancun. We're gonna sit in the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all ass. Y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston.
Yes. The round mount of rebound is a walking soundbite.
Charles Barkley and his hostility towards the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area.
I think he likes San Antonio.
San Antonio women?
Yeah, I think he likes it. I just think that he has a lovely filter that lets you know exactly what he thinks.
Galveston, San Antonio.
Have you been to Galveston?
I have not.
He's exactly right.
I've only ever been to, in the state of Texas, I've only ever been to Canyon, Texas, when I was covering Mesa baseball against West Texas A&M. I'll leave it at that. All right, coming up after the break, we'll talk with Central head baseball coach Joe Kellerby. That's next on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's Central baseball coach Joe Kellerby on The Team.
And our conversation with Central Baseball head coach Joe Kellerby, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. We bring in the coach of the Central Warriors baseball team, Joe Kellerby. Good morning, coach. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing just fine. Well, let's start first. Your team getting a win over the Grand Junction Tigers recently, your first league win of the year. Pretty close game, only a 3-2. You got lead off of Trevor Zeke's bat. Give us kind of your analysis of that win in that 3-2 close contest over the Tigers.
Sure. First off, I want to give Coach Thai and his staff and players a ton of credit. We had an incredible series with Grand Junction. It was a 2-1 ball game on Tuesday and then 3-2. It's It's really good high school baseball. But getting to Friday, you know, we turned the ball over to Dayton Timbreza, who's a sophomore. He really set the tone for us on the mound. He kept the ball down and kept that really good junction offense kind of off balance, mixing up a lot of pitches and throwing off speed pitches in the zone, really in some fastball counts. And that gave us a good opportunity. And then, you know, we had a game plan, and I thought we executed it pretty well against Wojtek. He's an outstanding pitcher for Junction. And, you know, we were sitting certain pitches in certain counts, and we really worked hard about not missing pitches that we're looking for when we get them. And I think we got 8 hits over 6 innings and a couple of timely hits. And yeah, Trevor Zeke's, you know, he didn't get all of it, but that's baseball. He got enough of it just to dump it over the infield and give us the lead. And then we just turned it over to Dayton to kind of close it up those last 3 innings.
You mentioned Dayton Timbreza, and the read-up that I saw had 5 strikeouts and 7 innings of work. Good outing for him. What was kind of working for Timbreza out there?
Well, I mean, we talked to him the day before and then going into the bullpen, and we said in order to be effective against Junction, you're not going to just throw fastballs by him. They hunt fastballs really well. And so we told him go to the bullpen. You need to feel, we needed to have his changeup and curveball in the zone and down. And so, you know, Coach Morrell does a good job with our pitching staff and took him down there. And he came in and he told me, he said, Coach, he's got those pitches down. And so we, you know, talked with Lewis Kuntz, our catcher. He's a senior. He signed to go play college. He's really, really smart as far as game calling. And we stuck with that script the whole way, which was trying to get Junction a little bit more out on their front foot and not spinning off that backside where they could do a lot of damage.
You mentioned Lewis Kuntz. He and another one of your guys, Caden Guerrieri, with a couple of stolen bases early in that Friday win against Junction. So as far as base running goes, where do you kind of feel like that's at for your team? Give us kind of your sense of where base running is at after seeing a couple of stolen bases, helping you get that win Friday against GJ. The base running for your team, where is that at?
Well, Caden Guerrieri is an incredible base runner, and I think he's been caught one time as all this year. And so he's got 14, 15, 16 stolen bases on the year. So, you know, when you've got first and second, but he's the leading guy, you know, that bat guy, unless the team that you're playing will throw to second base instead of third, which sometimes they will. But we knew we had a good shot with Caden Guerrieri up front, man. We also had Nick Colunga at the plate, who's a really, really good contact guy. So putting them in motion and knowing that if a ball is around the plate that Nick could put the ball in play, you know, we harped on our guys that we wanted to go get a first inning lead, and that opportunity presented itself. So once they stole those bases, then just like what I said, Nick hit the sack fly. The big play on the sack fly was Louis Kuntz being smart enough to tag up from second to third, because then Dayton Timbreza hit a little infield single. And if Louis doesn't tag up there, we don't grab that 2-0 lead. So good baseball IQ in that first inning. And those are my seniors, and they definitely led the way in that inning to give us a 2-0 lead.
We're talking with Central baseball coach Joe Kellerby today on the Team Sports Network. Let's talk about this upcoming series. It's an important league series. You're going up against Montrose in a home and away. Montrose, they're 10-8 overall, 7-4 on their home field, but they're 0-4 on the road. Do you kind of see an opportunity here to maybe take advantage of some home field advantage here this early series this week?
Well, we're hoping so. You know, obviously the home field advantage is last at bat. And, you know, we've been battling Montrose year after year after year. We always seem to play really tight games, a lot like what we did with Junction. And that's tough with Montrose, because Coach Wareham has those guys so extremely fundamental, and they do all the little things in baseball that allow you to win those close games. So we know we're in for it. We know we have to play almost mistake-free baseball, especially not giving extra outs. And, you know, they're coming off a sweep against Durango, so we know that they're going to be playing confident. And you know, they've put themselves in a good position with the playoffs, and, you know, they've got a few games left. So, you know, they're motivated to get the best playoff seed that they can get. So we know we're definitely in for another hard-fought games this week with Montrose.
Kind of like Rylan Nostrand for you guys, they have a guy in Gage Wareham that's kind of their do-it-all guy. He's a great pitcher. He's a great hitter. Your assessment of Gage Wareham and the player that he is out there on the mound, and the things you're going to have to kind of maybe want to try to do to slow him down a little bit.
Yeah, he pounds the zone. He attacks the zone really, really well, and his second pitch is really good as well. His curveball is hard. It's sharp. He can throw it to any count, and he can bury it if he needs to try to get us out of rhythm at the plate, or he can shove it in there for a strike. So, you know, we've been talking the last several weeks about, you know, these pitchers in the Southwestern League, they don't try to trick or they don't try to pitch around people. They just go right after us. So we're going to have to take that mentality into it if that's who they throw is Gage. And we've seen him a couple of times, some to success and some to not. So we know we're in a battle with him. He's an incredible athlete for Montrose. He has been for 4 years. You know, we've seen him since he was a freshman. So we're familiar with him, but that doesn't mean that it's guaranteed success. We know we're going to have to battle against him.
Central High School baseball coach Joe Kellerby with us on the Team Sports Network. Coach, we'll get you out on this. You know, right now your team in good position with a winning record. The league, as we all know, it's an absolute gauntlet. It's only going to be made more challenging next year when you guys introduce Palisade into the fold. Getting to the postseason, though, right now with your record, very real possibility for you. What kind of message does that send not only to your ball club, but kind of to you as well? As a first year as a head coach, I know this, you've been with the program for a long time, but now getting to be the head guy in charge, getting to the postseason, what kind of message does that send to your ball club and going forward for this program?
Well, I think that the standards are high. You know, we want to build a program at Central where the playoffs are just something that we expect year after year. And that's what I told them right out of the gate, is that, you know, we might have to play some freshmen, but by no means did we ever look at this year as a rebuilding year. And you know what? We focused on some things that we can control. And, you know, we hit the practice field Saturday morning after that really hard-fought winning at the Junction. And what we told the guys was, you know, you're in a position to control your destiny here. So, you know, at 9-8, and we are right now in the playoff scene, we have 6 games left. So we have 4 league games, and we still have 2 non-conference games. So with 6 games left, we very much control our own destiny, and we like to be that way with only 2 weeks left in the season. So we've been on a mission all year long, not to have a low bar, but that high bar and high expectation of standards and how we play the game and to be successful at Central when it comes to our baseball program.
We'll have coverage of both games between your ball club and the Montrose Redhawks coming up this week, Tuesday and Friday, right here on the Team Sports Network. Coach Joe Kellerby of the Central Warriors baseball team, good to chat with you, Coach. We'll get to talk to you again this week here as we get out to Central High School tomorrow. And hopefully we get to talk to you again before Friday. But otherwise, good luck this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate all the coverage.
No problem. That is Coach Joe Kellerby of the Central Warriors baseball team joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And our conversation with Coach Kellerby brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, and call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Cake and Max today, and for Jim and the Buckeye Boy, as Jim and Buckeye both gone today, as they're celebrating the award. And I'll say this, right? It's Jim's award because it's got to have his name on it. But he will say that it is kind of a shared collective award in terms of the structure, right? The overall structure of the award. Winning the award from the Colorado Athletics Directors Association for Sports Media Person of the Year for Interscholastic Sports Coverage. The outstanding media person for Interscholastic Sports Coverage, Jim Davis. Pyle, if you have messages of congratulations you want to send out, because here's the deal, he's going to hate it. he doesn't want the extra attention, but we're giving it to him anyway because he's not here right now. What, he's going to make me stop hosting the show midway through? No. Well, maybe, I don't know, but it is...
Hey, give the man what he deserves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where did you dig that up?
I know some things.
You know some things?
I know where some things are.
This guy right here. I'll give you a little plug. You got your, is it Wednesday contest on our sister station that does all the wacky sound effects?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. This guy knows his...
Indeed.
This guy knows his sound
effects. Can I ask you a question? Do you think Jim will let you touch the award when he brings it back? I don't think he lets anybody touch it.
Probably not.
Probably not. He's like, don't touch it.
He's
look.
What he's going to do.
Don't touch.
What he should do is, because we've got all this kind of decor in here of like Broncos photos and other memorabilia. He should find somewhere here on the wall really high up because he could reach it. You know, he's like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
Whereas Buckeye Boy and myself, we're sub 6 feet, so we're probably not going to be able to reach it. So
how many virgin daiquiris did you think Jim Davis celebrated with throughout the weekend?
A baker's dozen.
Yeah.
Over 3 days, but you know.
He likes them blended. He doesn't like them on the rocks.
Exactly.
He likes them blended.
All right. Hour two up next. We'll go around the NFL, recap some of the NFL draft from this weekend. Pyle, get your thoughts in. You're good, the bad, and the ugly on the team text line 970-242-1340.